Well, have you got that thing going? What's your name again?
Moses Owen.
O-W-E-N.
O-W-E-N, right. And I was born and raised in Akiak. I'm a native from this land, and I live off the land. You know, I make my living off the land here. And when the land claims took place, I wasn't even aware of it. I don't know who was involved in it, in planning and the initial planning. I don't know who was involved in there, but personally, my feeling is that it shouldn't have happened in the first place. I don't know who's doing this is, but in looking at the law, the ANCSTA law, the only thing that's going to do is hurt us. You know, it's not going to help the natives. It's going to hurt us, and I don't agree with the whole thing. Never did agree with it, because it, you know, personally, it's not my doing. It's not. Didn't come from me, or it didn't come from my people either. It came from somebody's mind.
For the record, we're holding this hearing of the commission at the fish camp of Moses Owen on the Kuskokwim River, and this is July the 7th, 1984. David Case has a question, Mr. Owen.
When was the first time you heard about the Claims Act?
Okay, that was probably in 70, probably 71 or 72.
How did you hear
when
about
I became
it?
Aware of it? You know,
how did you become aware of it? What happened to make you aware of it?
They were doing some land selections and stuff like that. You know, that's.
And that's the first you heard of it.
Yeah.
They were doing land selections.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
I haven't heard earlier than that.
Yeah. Here at your fish camp, have you? Was this fish camp in your family? Did it belong to your parents before you got it, or did you take it up, or can you tell us?
No. This is my mother-in-law's fish camp. My father-in-law passed away a couple of 76, I believe. This is his fish camp, and I'm here, you know.
With your family?
Yeah.
And about how much time do you spend here in the summer?
The family? Personally, I just moved down to Bethel a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the family here spends their summer here doing their fishing, you know, subsistence fishing in the summer.
And can you tell me what your mother-in-law's title to the camp is? Does she hold it under an allotment or?
No, I couldn't tell you that. I don't know that. We're just here, you know. And I don't like the issue of having to ask somebody for a piece of ground, you know, where I was born at. You know, this is my life, this is my home, and I don't have to go to nobody to ask for a piece of ground, you know, where I was born at.
Yeah. Here at the camp, you've got racks for drying, you've got a smokehouse, and a couple of caches, and basketball hoop on one of the racks, and another steam bath back there, and then the house here. This is quite a setup.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a boat down at the water, I guess. When does the family come up here to start their fishing? Usually, when do they come?
Right after breakup is when they start moving into the fish camps. Right after the ice goes out.
And when do you go back then?
Huh?
When do they go back to the village?
Right before freeze up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the families moved back earlier, you know, because the school starts in August, middle of August.
And do you always come to the same camp every summer?
Uh-huh.
I noticed that on this stretch of the river there's quite a few camps. Are the most of the people from Akiak who have camps right along the stretch of the river?
Yeah. Akiak, and then right around the bend there is Akichuk. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe you guys were down there.
Yeah,
earlier.
We were down there for 2 days.
Why are the camps congregated right here? Why are there so many right in this area?
I don't know. It's been set up that way, you know. It's a community, you know, just sort of like a community.
Yeah. And,
people are together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my personal feeling is that land claims or the Settlement Act shouldn't have happened in the first place. I don't know who's doing it. Is whoever did it was looking at hurting the natives of Alaska, not helping them.
Yeah. Why don't you join us and just have a seat here? We'll call this. And could we have your name again?
Frank DeMantle Jr.
Oh, yeah.
I was born and raised at Akiak, and presently I'm working down at Bethel. But I have a question to ask is, in your travels, you know, inside the state of Alaska, what sort of suggestions have the people given you toward the 1991 issue?
Well, there have been a lot of suggestions. Excuse me. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Tom Burgess, my name.
Ladiwa Senior.
How do you do? This is David Case.
Hi. What's your first name?
Ladiwa.
And this is Jeff Berliner.
Hi. Glad to meet you guys.
We're just...
I'm Louise Danos.
Oh, sorry, Louise. I didn't...
Yeah, what was your name again?
Ladiwa.
Oh, that's good.
Well, hey, come over and join us, sir. We're just asking... about the land and subsistence and the land claims and so on. Well, you asked a question. What do people say should be done about 1991? Some of them say it should be postponed.
Okay.
Some say that, nothing should be done about it, they don't intend to sell the shares in the corporations, and if the corporations remain in native control, the land will still be in native control. Then a lot of people say that the land should be transferred from the corporations to the tribal governments, to the IRAs or the traditional councils, and that is a feeling that we find in quite a few places. Mm-hmm. There's also a provision in ANCSA now, it's a change made in 1980, for the corporations to put some of the land into land banks to be used as subsistence, and then it can't be taxed. There's been other suggestions made, but when we've finished the hearings all over the state, I'm going to write a report saying what the people want to do, and I'm going to suggest how it can be done. But what's your view about 1991?
My view of the 1991 issues, I have a real... I'm threatened by the 1991 issue because since we have 211 shareholders at our corporation and...
That's about, Akiak.
Yes. And... we have approximately 115,200 acres of land. Okay, now let's assume that come 1991, let's assume that half our shareholders wanted to sell half their shares, probably to Exxon, Gulf, or or them big corporations down in the lower 48, you know, they have their companies up here in Alaska, I believe. Now let's just assume, just for the sake of argument here, that we possibly have some.
Excuse me a second.
Okay.
Why don't you join us here if you like? We're just talking about land claims and 1991 and hi, Tom Burge is my name, and this is David Case.
It's Solomon Kawagli.
This is Jeff Berliner and Louise Danhauer.
Hi, Danhauser.
Sorry.
Yeah,
we met. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted
yeah,
you. You
no
were talking about
The real threat. I'm seeing.
You know, Frank, that threat should have never happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
I might sound radical, and
I can't
help but be radical.
You're being logical.
When we come to that issue about the land, our land, somebody coming in here and making those rules and laws, and in the first place, who made the Alaska statehood?
Alaska statehood.
Who made it? Not me, not my forefathers,
no.
Not my people.
Well, you were talking about the corporation at Akiak.
Okay.
You saw as the threat of 1991.
Yeah. Now, let's, for the sake of argument, you're assuming that one of these big corporations from down low 48 happened to buy half the shares of half the shareholders of the corporation now. And let's just assume again that we do have, substantial amount of oil, underneath our land around here. Now, if one of these big corporations do have half that voting power, and they do wanted to extract that oil or whatever is underneath the ground, and they have the the majority. Now us natives around here couldn't have a say in that, even though we would protest. I don't believe the corporations, those big corporations, would listen to us. Now I've been thinking a lot about this 1991 issue, the transfer, share of the, the share of this, the sell, let me say.
Selling the shares?
Yeah, selling the shares. Now there should be a vehicle around that. Like for instance, I would like to entertain the idea that the corporation should donate the land to the tribal governments with several conditions attached to it. Now, one condition of mine would be that once the corporation does donate the land, that the receiving tribal government should create shares, tribal shares, for the people. And the second condition would be that the tribal government cannot sell the land to any outside interests. Aside from that, I'm in agreement with Moses here that the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, shouldn't have become a act in the first place,
yeah.
Because as I can recall, this happened prior to 1971, back 3-4 years prior to that, the I believe the Indians somewhere in the Fairbanks area, wanted to protect their land, so the state of Alaska Native peoples jumped into it because they were afraid they would be losing their land. And some of us natives are very bitter about this Land Claims Act because we got the short end of the stick, you know. Personally, my opinion is that the natives should have gotten more than 44 million acres. Like I could, I'm sure my elder here could point, could correct me on this assumption here that our people used to go over to the mountains, you know, during the fall and come back in the summer, and yet we can't even claim all that land, you know. Our people back in the early 1900s had reindeer herds, and they used to take their caribou herds all the way to the mountains, and yet we can't claim that land, you know. You know, that's one of the reasons the Claims Act, you know, boils down to, gets, once you think about it, it becomes very, makes you bitter, because you should have gotten more instead of 115,200 acres.
Can I just ask you a couple of questions about the corporation at Akiak?
Okay.
You said, how many shareholders do you have?
211.
And how many live in Akiak? Any idea?
Right now, the population of Akiak, I believe, has grown. Yeah.
But out of those 211 shareholders, I believe there's
probably more than three-quarters.
Yeah.
Are still in Akiak.
Yeah, are still in Akiak.
And some in Bethel, some in Anchorage,
yeah.
That kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
If one of the you said, well, what would happen if one of the oil companies came around and wanted to buy the people's shares, if 50% of the people plus one sell their shares, then the native people are a minority
right.
in the corporation. What do you think the attitude would be of the people who have those shares? If somebody came around and said, here's some money, maybe $5,000 for your shares, what do you think would happen?
Well,
I know it's hard to say.
Yeah, it all depends on the person you're asking now. If you approach the person at the right time, I'm sure you'd have a seller, you know. Like, for instance, a person might have financial problems, or they might want to purchase something, you know.
Yeah.
And if you ask him at the right time, I'm sure he wouldn't have no problem, you know. But those of us that are aware of the 1991 issue, we'd be, in my opinion, I'd say, you know, go take a hike, you know. But if now, this is another big gift for me. If I ever do run across, you know, into any financial problems, that could be one way out of my financial problems. But on the other hand, you know, life is a risk. And in, like, for instance, if I do happen to run into Mo's boat, you know, and he said, hey, Frank, why don't you get me another boat? And I don't have the cash on hand, you know. And all I do have is shares. Mm-hmm. Now let's just assume that he want that boat tomorrow, you know, before it takes me to court. Mm-hmm. Well, it's either that or go to court, you know.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about your fish camp. We passed it on the way here to Moses' camp.
Mm-hmm.
The camps along this stretch of the river are in a grove of cottonwoods. It's really very nice. Can you tell me what you've got at your fish camp, just so we have some idea for the record of what the camps are like?
Oh, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. It has one smokehouse, fish rack, cache, and a plywood house, and about the same type of trees, you know, surrounds the area.
We were just at Akiak and about an hour ago, and there's nobody there. I take it they're all out at fish camps.
Right, yeah.
There's a couple of families up there. Yeah.
Do you have any questions, David?
Is this, are these fish camps located on or surrounded by corporation lands, or are they?
They're all within corporation lands.
So you're on corporation lands.
Yes, but in this instance, this here has a native allotment here.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of people that have allotments here, and Lot, I think, is one of them.
No.
No?
He's on the other side.
Oh, okay.
This is
so this particular stretch of the river is... these fish camps are on native allotments.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, that's...
Several allotments or just one?
Yeah, several. Two. I mean, a couple.
There's a couple.
Is this your mother-in-law's allotment?
No. No, I think it's all under... I don't know who the two people are that have allotments here.
The late Kittu Fulham Kassin.
Well, that's okay.
What's his name? Washley.
But there's no problem. You can use these camps even though they're on the other allotment.
That's the thing that's going to hurt us in the future. It's when some of these people start saying, this is my land, you know, identifying whose land it is, and that's, I don't like that restriction.
Putting up fences?
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't know.
Back at the time of the, you first became aware of the Claims Act, was there any pressure, you know, on land around here? Did you feel anything like that? Other people moving in on your land?
We're never faced with that problem, and I don't want to get into that. And I hope these people, the next generation or the future generations that go through here, never face that problem.
Are you aware of any people from outside this area moving in here now more than in the past?
No, it's through marriages, though.
Yeah.
Marriages,
and looking at the growth of Bethel down there, you know, in the last couple of years, they're coming in here.
Any homesteading and that kind of stuff?
Not in this region here. Maybe in the upriver region there. There's a whole bunch of them there.
There's a lot of boats in Bethel, when you refer to the growth of Bethel, you mean the increased native population
non-native? No, non-native. Non-native.
And how has that had an impact on you up here, upriver? Are some of those people...
They've got some impact, you know. It all, you know, just like any other place here, it has to impact around the surrounding area, you know. It does impact on us.
Are those people... setting up camps like this or anything like that?
Not here.
It's just a question of more people
harvesting fish. Is that?
That's one impact there.
Would you gentlemen like to comment on any of these questions?
Alaska Native Claim Settlement Namtungin, Well, I just told him if he has any comments toward the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, any suggestions or any perceived problems that he has experienced because of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Yeah. Or he could probably speak in English too.
You think it's okay? We can. Ah.
Yeah.
Beaucoup de toi. Reich, ma gute, Hong, guten, Jugunen, Achille, Lerre, und heute rum, da war keinem Jugend, da ist ja leer, am Schlag, Hong, gute Dummen, mit dem Dachkun, ma gute Neibam, und, Hatschik, Nacklun, Hong, guten Dachkun, Jack, Fero, Nacklun, ja. Apisakwani ya. Tuk tiu kai nafuk na tiu kai naun ngalak tu na yuk tu ni kwangkut nun na ya. Sali si kwangkuta pik ngam tu nun naut ngam tu su umyuk yukut kisti gana ku kanam yukut ngukhtay na kalini ya. Wat een gang kunt een pikning als nia. Taima. Tama anatelli, asilra, not a hong. Toho hong kunt een jukununna. Wang kunt om je wereld schomp nu mumi man na state toch pijlenna. Awan is William Kangenia. Tamani. Pisoeangalita. Pisoeang schulut. To semua tamat pisci kali itu taman yungan jadi kesan yungan aku na pisok ya kat kute usah pisci kali itu kong kute tamania umiuk pisci kana ta yungan ni aku na kesan ke tamania ni ngasnasem ni kesah tait sok taman itu umiuk kalu itu tamania Pikani su chali pakkuning reni umyuke golu ta chali yushukut tun chulu ta pisumni kwastun chul tun chun relingam ta chattamasko num yuke gut kluku tamani pisukut khangkuta nalum ta wa mai pisci gatu kutot
pausing there could you translate
yes, he
could
began.
You give us the
A summary of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he began first
and
of all with
his name. First of all,
Lottie Gwok Sr. Okay. He said that the Alaskan Native Claim Settlement Act wasn't fair to us natives, but I believe fairer to the non-natives. And then he went on to say that before the Alaskan Native Claim Settlement Act passed. The native peoples of Alaska, you know, had no restrictions as to where they would, you know, where their land was or where they would go. But since the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act passed, a lot of restrictions were imposed upon natives who really lived off the land. Like he even pointed out that the I don't want to say tribe, you know, but our people from our area here used to go over there to the lakes. Those lakes are over between Dillingham and the Kuskokwim area. Our ancestors used to go around there and hunt. And as he said, they had no restrictions because When his ancestors and he was hunting, you know, nobody had claims to them. Now I believe the federal government does, or the state government. And furthermore, he said that Chamkimila Kashabuna Guna Il Gayagami Ayagalachi Mani Singren,
yeah? Yeah. Jagashapsnik. Tamani. Jamuk toy piu wakam te khulu nun nunali lutu itak khiwa kam ta
And then he said about the people before the last Native Claim Settlement passed, that they should go up to these mountains here, the Kilbuck Mountains, and prospect if they wanted to, you know, settle a cabin around there, and then string out a trap line and hunt, or we still do, but since the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act passed, the problems have increased, you know, as he said, and as he said that the whenever a person wanted to build a cabin around there, he had no problem, and nobody came around and, harped on the person. And he further states that prior to the Alaska statehood, you know, he was very vocal about the he was not in favor of the statehood because he Akiak was a reservation, you know. And once the village of Akiak decided to go statehood, he believed that the reservation status would have been relinquished, and then he still stated that the people should have stayed in a reservation type status.
Yeah.
So had a reservation up until the Claims Act?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, sir. We have another elder with us. did you wish to say anything, sir?
Nun not minik kasat khit en goed recht het. De kracht koud.
He began with the, he led to Salman Kwagli. He said that back when he was growing up, the people, you know, were herding reindeers around our region here. And whenever they wanted to round up the reindeers, they'd go out into the, you know, wilderness and round them up. And he said, from these mountains here, the land that they used to use goes all the way down to Quinahock, you know. And he said, in those days, nobody came around and said, this is our land, don't step on it, don't trespass, you know. And today, he said, if the if they do the same thing, you know, the person who is doing the herding would probably be getting letters from the landowner saying, don't use my land. Okay, he said that going back to the reindeer herding again, that Akyak, I believe, started a company, reindeer herding company, and then he further went further on and stated that when they were herding these reindeers out in the wilderness, that you know, nobody had title to all that land. This was prior to the statehood, prior to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, and they stated further that today natives don't like term that people owning land, you know. Like, for instance, if I had a certain piece of land and then if my friend would like to come over and, you know, probably make a fish camp. And back then there was no such thing. People did so, you know, as they pleased. But today, if, for instance, if I had to relocate my fish camp because my sand hair is going down, I have to relocate now.
The banks eroding.
Something like that. But the sandbar is coming down, you know.
Oh, I see.
Silt building up. Sand,
yeah, right.
So you can't get in.
Mm-hmm. Jam krap.
Jam khan khay khutam. Man nat mai nqsoqyaq. Nqsitulkhukut ummiorput atoqluku. Qanratamallkuita. Nqkaputlu pitallkhatataqlut. Makunuk fishan keimanuk nalluulut. Tuotnil pitallramakku viasqluutappik qanniunat yuugutsqluutall qanllramakniitsuunat maattaqkun mattumnalliini neqsuqquyunngqmi mukutta tunnakan kuvelrit nallitnit kuvestiganat tuukaputlu juukakluki onkuta umiokta tukkunak.
And then he went on to say something about the subsistence issue. Back before the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, you know, before the Statehood Act, the people again were, you know, fishing here. The people fished until they had enough, you know. There was no such rules and regulations concerning when to pack in your set net. But today, since the commercial fishing system started, the people along this region here have to fish during certain hours, certain parts of the week, you know, 24 hours prior to the commercial fishing season, commercial fishing, commercial starts, the people have to go out and take in their set nets, and 6 hours after, back when he was growing up, there was no such rules.
Thank you. You have a question?
Yeah. When the do they have to take in the subsistence nets when the commercial fishing is open? Is that what I heard you understood?
No, the set nets have to be in 24 hours prior to the commercial fishing time begin. Opens, yes.
Oh. And then they can be put back in
6 hours
after it closes.
Right. Yeah.
Why is that?
To let the fish escape, you know, to go up to their spawning grounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Another couple of questions. When Mr. Egwok was talking, he mentioned, I thought I heard him say Nunavut. Did mm-hmm. he use that word?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Our land.
Our land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you also said that you didn't want to use the word tribe.
Yeah.
Could you tell us why
well,
not?
Tribe, my personal opinion of a tribe is I look at Indians, you know, down at the lower 48 tribe, you know. But I can see that since the, the public law 9363 in Indian self-determination, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since the people started using tribe, I might as well, you know, reluctantly use tribe,
mm-hmm.
because our people, I believe, is a tribe, you know.
In what sense do you mean that? Maybe you don't, it's not possible to answer the question, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, tribe usually the collection of people, you know, coming together to form
a community,
yes, yeah, and then that community starts to have distinct, you know, identity of its own, you know, that separates it from other, you know.
In this case, would Akiak be the community or
yes,
the community?
Yes, or by its real Yupik name, Kokakamut. Yeah, meaning the middle people.
Uh-huh. Would that refer to one village or a group of villages?
One village. Yeah. And that's the name of our corporation is Kokakamut.
And that name goes back before 1971, I guess.
Before I even was born.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe before your father was born.
Probably.
Okay, thank you. That's mm-hmm. very helpful.
Well, thank you all very much. Mm-hmm.